Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for freedom, Lord. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a blessing this morning to be free by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What a blessing to be free by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And like Christina said in the communion today, he's given us his blood to stay free.
Yes.
Amen. We can stay free. We just run to him when we need it. We can stay free.
Yes.
And even in our most stubborn moments, he won't leave us alone. He'll keep working on us. Amen. Because he knows freedom looks good on us. Amen. He wants us free.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us cleansed by his blood continuously. Yes. One thing about the blood, it cleanses us one time and we're born again. But it's a continuous flow.
Amen.
It never stops flowing. It never stops flowing. It never stops cleansing. It never stops bringing freedom. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Yes.
Thank you,
Jesus.
It's a continuous cleansing flow. Continuous cleansing flow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you today. Thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for your blood.
Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus.
It continuously cleanses us. And it keeps us. So God, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to come before your people today. In your word, thank you for your word today. We thank you for those that are hearing the word today, God. We thank you for the children. We thank you, God, for everyone here, God. Thank you for your anointing, God, and your presence, God. It's not only here in here with us, but your presence is also in there with the children. So God, we say thank you. Thank you for being with all of us, God. Your presence with Samantha, God, as she blesses the children this morning, God. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for every person this morning that is here that serves, Father God. We thank you for Billy that serves in every way, in any way that he can serve, God. He's always willing to serve. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
For Dan and for on Fexon, we thank you for Tyler, God. We thank you for all those that serve. We thank you for Christina. We thank you for Noella. We thank you for Sheila. We thank you for Mary, God. We thank you for everyone that serves. We thank you for Eve, God. We thank you for all those that serve, God, and have a heart to serve this ministry. God, we say thank you, Jesus. God, we give you glory, give you praise. We magnify your name. And God, we just say thank you, Jesus, because you're such a good God. And God, you know just what to do and how to do it.
Yeah.
God, we thank you for the room for the children, God. We say thank you, Jesus. God, we just say thank you this morning. Mm-hmm. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your name. We thank you for those on Zoom, God. Mm-hmm. We say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're such a good God. And we say thank you this morning, Lord. Give you glory, give you praise. We magnify your name. We thank you for grace, God, for it's by grace that we're saved. It's by grace, Father God, that we're empowered to live this life. So God, we say thank you for it this morning. Thank you for strength this morning. Thank you for strength and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We didn't have a message last Sunday, but the last Sunday we did have a message. We talked about faith and Jesus. We talked about faith in Jesus. We talked about the different ways that we can receive by faith. We talked about the fact that we can receive by faith for ourselves. We can receive by the power of agreement. We can receive by the gifts of the Spirit when someone prays for us. And there is sometimes God just in a sovereign act, he comes and he brings healing or deliverance. And God does that. He does that. So we thank him for that. And we talked about the fact that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we talked about that meant Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. And that Jesus was God, and Jesus was with God. So Jesus was in the beginning, so we thank God for that. We want to continue on with Jesus and faith today. And our subject for today is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Every believer, no matter how mature we are or think we are, we're always in the process of what? Of being conformed to the image of Christ or being transformed into his image. We're all in that process. I don't care how mature you think you are, how long you've been saved and born again, from the very moment that you get saved, throughout the journey till you leave here to go to be with Jesus, you're in the process of being transformed into the image of Jesus or being conformed to his image. No one has arrived. It would be nice if we could have said we had arrived, but no one has arrived. And who knows better than we ourselves the fact we have not arrived? You see, I was at 3314B Whitlock Drive last week, and I didn't see not one of y'all, and y'all didn't see me, y'all because y'all was expecting homes. So we didn't see each other. I don't know what you were doing, you don't know what I was doing. We don't know what each other was thinking, but each of us knows our own self. So since we know our own self, we know that, okay, I am not perfect yet. I'm perfect in spirit, but I'm not living out what's in my spirit perfectly yet. And none of us are. No one gets to attain to some level of perfection where they stop growing. Don't ever stop growing. Don't ever think you got it all. You don't need any more. You don't need to grow. Because when you start thinking that way, you're deceived. Amen. That's called deception.
Yeah.
Because we always, all of us, should always be growing. Up to the very last breath we take, we should be growing. The Word of God says, he who has begun a good work in us will complete it. Jesus has begun a good work in us. He will complete it. He began the work. He will complete it. The only destination of this life is Jesus. Somebody said Jesus and Mo Jesus. And Mo Jesus. In him you have arrived. It is only in him that we have arrived. And that means in him we will arrive at that place where we can get everything we need, where he has everything we need. In Jesus, we find everything we need. So you arrive in him because once you get in Jesus, you don't look for nobody else.
Yeah.
You don't look for nobody else.
Thank you.
You don't try to find no other way. You have the way. So therefore, in him we have arrived. In him we get to live, move, and have our being.
Yeah.
In him we get to live and move and have our being. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to, I'm going to do several chapters of Hebrews. Now, 10, 11, and 12. Kind of go through the message today. Let's look at Hebrews 10. We're going to look at a few chapters in Hebrews 10. 10, 14, 17, 18, 19, and 20. In Hebrews, the writer, and they got this thing about, I don't know if it was Paul or frankly, I think Paul wrote it, but some say Paul might be writing, some of us might have written it. But in Hebrews, Paul brings the argument of why the law is obsolete, why the law could not ever take away sin, and therefore that's why Christ came. So it makes me think he's talking to a Jewish congregation, and the Hebrews were to the Jews, because they're the ones under the law. So Paul is trying to let them see that, okay, every year you had to take a sacrifice into the Holy of Holies for your sins. Every year you remembered your sins. Every year you remembered you were a sinner. You were never complete doing that sacrifice. But he's getting them to see now that through Jesus Christ, you don't have to do that anymore. Let's look at verse 10, 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. One offering, one blood offering. The scene will tell us about that today. We read in our worship songs. One offering today for sin, his blood. His blood offering has perfected forever those who are what? Being sanctified. We are sanctified, but at the same time, we are being sanctified.
Yeah.
It's a dual process. He has perfected us forever by his blood. Someone said, okay, the blood of Jesus was shed for us. It was shed on the cross. When they whipped him, it was shed. And the blood that was shed, it went to the ground. But then the Bible said he also what took his blood up in heaven and cleansed the things in heaven with his blood. So someone said, well, how did the blood get there? And I'm like the person that gave the answer to this, their answer, and I kind of agree with them. The Holy Spirit gathered the blood. Holy Spirit took the blood of Jesus. Took the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, and took it in the heavenlies. And cleansed and sanctified the things in the heaven that were contaminated because of man's sin. So the blood of Jesus only cleansed us. Hallelujah. His blood not only cleanses us, but his blood cleanses whatever it touches.
Yeah.
Whatever it touches, it cleanses it. So we don't need another offering. He has perfected us forever with that one offering. So I don't need to look to anything else. You don't need to look anywhere else, but we look unto Jesus. Hebrews 10 says this, 17. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Paul was letting them know, okay, now, there's one new and living way, and that one and new living way is through Jesus. Through his flesh, we got a way into the Father. I don't have to, well, the Catholic religion is like this. They go to the priest. I guess the priest goes to Jesus. But you know, we don't have to go to a priest.
Amen.
You don't have to come to me. You go to Jesus.
Yes.
I go to Jesus.
Yes.
We all go to Jesus. Because what? He was that one offering for our sins. So we don't have to go anywhere else. And that one offering in the Holy of Holies, the priest went once a year. And the priest had to be a certain way to go. Only the priest could go and face the presence of God. But now because of Jesus, we can get in his presence every day, anytime we want to, because of his blood. We can look to Jesus. We can talk to him face to face. We can hear his voice. We can hear him talking to us because of the blood of Jesus. And then he goes to chapter 11.
And chapter 11 starts this way, 11:1. Okay, now we need to establish the fact that Jesus is the way, the new and living way. He's perfected us by his blood. And we're consecrated, which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. This is the new living way. Then verse 11 says, now faith, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm leaving all this up to chapter 12, where I want to get to. So now he's talking about faith. Let's see what the Passion Translation says. Passion Translation, Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith brings our hope into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove that, to prove what is still unseen. So what does faith do? Faith brings our hope into reality. It makes what we're hoping for become real, a reality out here in this world. And it's the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. You need hope in order to get faith. If you don't have any hope, you can't go to faith. Matter of fact, if you don't have no hope, you want to be trying to have faith. You can't have faith without hope. They work together. This testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. And then verse 2 in the New King James Version said this, for by it the elders obtained a good report or a good testimony. And if you read that chapter 11 of Hebrews, you will see that by faith the worlds were created. By faith Abraham and Sarah had strength to conceive a son. By faith Rahab healed the spies. A lot of people in that 11th chapter, they'll tell you, by faith they did this, by faith they did that, by faith they did something else. It was by their faith. It was by their faith they did it. And they did not have what we got today. They didn't have Jesus like we have him today. So what does faith do? Faith empowers us to see the unseen.
Yeah.
Faith empowers us to see the unseen. If you don't have no faith, you can't see the unseen. You can't see what Jesus wants us to see if you don't have faith. Matter of fact, if you don't have faith, it takes faith to get saved. Takes faith to stay saved. Takes faith to live the Christian life. So faith empowers us to see the unseen. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And this is what Paul concludes after going over chapter 10 and 11. In Hebrews 12:1, he says this. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses he's talking about? He's talking about all the witnesses in chapter 11. All the witnesses he talked about in chapter 11. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. In other words, let us let go of every wound that has pierced us and sin we so easily fall into. Let it go. Let it go. And how can we let it go? All we need to do is have a desire to let it go. And say, God, I let this go. And once we say, Lord, I let it go, Holy Spirit takes us, it's gone, and we don't have to carry that thing anymore.
Yes.
It's just that simple and easy. But we have to be willing, what? To let it go. And I had no idea what Christine was going to say this morning before the message. But we need to what? Let it go. Be willing to let it go. Let it go. Don't hang on to it. Let it go.
Yeah.
Because what? We're surrounded by witnesses that have been gone on before. And they're saying they got a better covenant. Mm-hmm. They got Jesus.
Yes.
Their sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They got it better than we had.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's see what they're doing with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And what are we doing with it? So we need to let it go. Let the wounds, the way of those wounds, and let the sins that so easily ensnare us, let it go. Let it go. And that's not mean, like I said, you do it in your own strength, but you go to Jesus with a willing heart and him, you can let it go. You can let it go. And then it says, after we let us run with endurance that race that is set before us. We're able to what? Run our life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us.
Yes.
We all have our own path. Our own path is marked out for us. Our own race is before us. Our own path. The things we have to endure, the things we have to come up with, the things we have to look at and overcome. Everybody's path is already marked by Christ. It's already marked. He's already seen what he wants to be. He's already seen where he's taking us. And he's already seen what's in our path and what we have to go through to get there. And so everybody endures and goes through their own path. Yeah. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. I say that all the time. That's what I used to do then.
Yes.
So I keep saying don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, because everybody's path is different. So God has grace for everybody's individual path. But what are we supposed to do while we endure in one of this path? Verse 2 says this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. You and I both are to run this race looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. When I saw the revelation of that verse that God gave me for that freed me in a certain area. Because what? Jesus is the one who originates my faith. My faith originates with Jesus. He's the originator of our faith. Whatever a person offered, that means they started it. So faith starts where? Faith always starts with Jesus.
Yes.
It always starts with Jesus. Whatever you're wanting to receive by faith, you gotta start with Jesus. You gotta start, you gotta look unto him because he's the originator of faith. He's the author of faith. And that would be good if we're right there. Sometimes we just stop there and don't realize that he's not only the author of our faith, but he's the finisher of our faith. I don't have to worry about how this faith is going to end. I just look to Jesus. I don't have to worry about it materializing, whatever I'm believing for. I just look to Jesus. That's his job. Mm-hmm. My faith and your faith, it starts with him. So whatever you're believing for, whatever you're looking for, whatever you're needing, all you have to do is look to Jesus. Okay, Jesus, you're my author. You're the originator of this faith. You're the finisher. You're the one that brings this thing into fruition. You're the one that make it become a reality, not me. I just rest on you, Jesus. I rest on your promises. I rest on the power and authority that's in your name. And I do what you tell me to do, but you're the one. It's your responsibility. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's not mine. I don't have to try to strive to make it happen. I don't have to try to do this work or that work to make it happen. I don't have to try to do stuff to make myself be. I just look to Jesus and his grace and stuff originate the faith in me. It gives me grace and new grace and power to become and be who he has already ordained that we be. And may we be on the inside. So looking unto Jesus, he's the originator. He's the one author of our faith. And he's the one part that raised faith to his highest perfection. And so what? He's our highest example. It's okay to have earthly human examples, to a certain extent. But if you want the highest example, you look at Jesus.
That's
right. Yeah. Because before it happens, if we look at one another, if you look at one another long enough, you're going to see a fault.
That's right.
You're going to see something to discourage you. But if you look unto Jesus,
yes.
You won't ever get disappointed.
That's right.
Your faith level will always be raised. Because he took faith to the highest level. He took it to the highest level. He took it to the highest level because when he was ridiculed, when he was mocked, and when he went to the cross, he still kept his faith and his eyes on the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Jesus was supposed to keep his eyes on the Father. And we're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
He kept his eyes on the Father. And he knew if he kept his eyes on the Father, everything was going to be okay because God was going to bring him through. He had that confidence. Okay, God started this. God said, I needed somebody to go down and die for man's sin. And Jesus said, yes. He said, so my Father started. My Father started. And I said, yes. So I know that my Father's going to be here with me.
Yes.
And the only time he did not sense his Father's presence was on the cross. And he said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But even God had forsaken him. No, he hadn't. Because that third day, he rose again. He rose again. So he's the author. He's the originator of our faith. He's our supreme model for this way of life. When others had failed, he succeeded. People try to find other ways to God. They try to find other ways, but there's only one way. There's only one way. God has made a way to God for those who follow him. He's made a way. He's made a way for us. Hebrews 2:2 says this in the Passion Translation. We look away from the natural realm and we fast our gaze unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. So we look away what? From the natural realm. Faith, when we're walking and living this life by faith, and that's how we live. The just shall live by faith. Several times the scripture says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So when we're in this faith walk, looking unto Jesus, we look away from the natural realm, but we look to Jesus. Sometimes we fix our eyes so much on the problem. We fix our eyes so much on our disappointments. We fix our eyes so much on our weaknesses and our faults and our failures. And that's not where we're supposed to be looking. That's the natural realm. But we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus, because that's looking at the spiritual realm. That's not looking at me, that's looking at him. If I look at me, I don't get nowhere. I don't have strength in myself. I don't have grace within myself. I have to have the grace of God. You have to have the grace of God. You have to have the strength of God. You have to have that comes from Jesus, not that comes from yourself.
That's right.
It's not about self, it's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him. So that's what we look to. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the scripture let us know what? His heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross. He conquered his humiliation. And now he sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So if you ever want to feel like you want to quit, consider Jesus. That goes for me too. Sometimes things get tough. There's an old saying that goes, throw in the towel. Sometimes things get tough, you want to throw in the towel, that means you want to quit. But anytime you get those feelings, consider Jesus. He endured more than we would ever have to endure. He said, lest you become weary and discouraged from your soul, just consider him. Look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's completed. He's the consummate. He's the one. He's the one to bring our faith into fruition. He's the one that must realize what we believe in for. Proverbs 13:12 says this: hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desires come, it is a tree of life. So God desires, we learned on Thursday night, God desires to answer our prayers.
Amen.
Because our prayers bring glory to God.
Yes.
Answered prayer brings him glory. So what did Paul say about this? Paul said, this gospel of Christ, he said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Where the power of God to salvation is the power of God unto safety, deliverance, and help for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes. This gospel that caused me to look unto Jesus, I'm not ashamed of it. And you shouldn't be ashamed of it either. Because it's the power of God unto deliverance, unto safety, unto preservation, unto help. It's the power of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Looking unto him, looking unto the cross, looking unto the resurrection, looking unto Jesus. And then verse 17 says, for in it, the gospel of Christ. The verse says, for in it, the it is the gospel of Christ. The righteousness of God's revealed from faith to faith, from faith to faith. We look unto Jesus and we grow what? From faith to faith. Faith to faith. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and then we grow as we walk from faith to faith. We overcome this by our faith or that by our faith, and we keep on walking. We keep on growing from faith to faith. We keep on receiving by faith. Keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we keep growing from faith to faith to faith to faith. And then we're getting what? Stronger and stronger and stronger. But if we look to ourselves, we're going to stay in the same place. We're going to become stagnant. There's nothing in me, in my flesh. Matter of fact, Paul says there's no good thing in the flesh. But we look unto Jesus. We don't look to ourselves. We look to him. We look to him. Now, there's a whole lot of grace left in our spirit, man. So we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the originator. He's the completer. Look to him to start it. If you start with Jesus, stay with Jesus, end with Jesus. And you will see the results of your faith.
Yes.
So we walk by faith and not by sight. So Hebrews 10:35 says this: therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't cast away your confidence in Jesus and your faith in him to receive. We have the ability to receive in us. That's how God made us. So don't cast away your confidence, because your confidence has a great reward. But what? We need to have endurance. So that after we've done the will of God, we may receive the promise. The will of God is what? That we believe we receive.
Mm-hmm.
And after we believe we receive, we're in need of patience.
Yeah.
That we might receive our promise. Colossians 2:6-7 says this: as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, by faith, answered by faith, so walk in him by faith. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Make sure your spiritual roots go deep into his life, the life of Christ, as you continually infuse with strength and encourage in every way. Be rooted in Christ. How do you get rooted in Christ? You get rooted in Christ through the word of God, through spending time in prayer. Get rooted in the word and get the word of God in you. Spend time with him. Get rooted in his presence. Let your roots go down deep so that you can have strength Jesus said, I am the way. Now, if he said, I am the way, that means there's no other way. I am the way, Jesus said. He's the way. He's the way. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So look unto Jesus, because what? He is the way. He's the way for us to what? To fight the good fight of faith. He's the way. He's the Alpha and Omega, Revelation says. He's the beginning and the end. He's the one who is to come, who was, who is to come, not one who is, who was, and is to come, and he's the Almighty. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is not merely deliverance from future punishment. He is freedom from sin and his present power. We didn't just get Jesus so we wouldn't die and go to hell, but he's also our freedom and our present power. Through union with Christ, we have become a new creation. So look unto him, because in him you become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We have died to sin, Romans 6:2, and the flesh have been crucified with his passions and lust thereof, Galatians 5:24. We have entered upon a new spiritual life of righteousness, peace, and joy, Romans 14:17. We are saved and reconciled to God, claiming and receiving our privileges as what? Sons and daughters. So we look unto Jesus. We rejoice daily and spiritually in our Father's grace, knowing how to glory even in tribulation. Because what? We've learned that all things work together for good to those what? Who love God and are called according to his purpose. We still sometimes have conflict with sin. Where we once were the slave of the flesh, sold unto sin, Romans 7:14 tells us, now we know that sin is no longer the master, but Jesus is. Sin is no longer our master, but Jesus is.
Amen.
We have been delivered from the dominion of sin.
Yeah.
So now Jesus is our master. So we look unto him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one we look to on this journey. He's the one. And the day is coming when our bodies will be transformed. We have our new bodies. And we'll be free from all of this down here because we'll be living with him in our new body. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and finisher of your faith. So look to him. Look to Jesus. Persecution is going to come. Temptation comes. But we ought to look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one. We don't have strength in our own selves. We can't do it in our own selves. But we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for goodness, God. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. God, we give you glory, give you praise. We just thank you for your word today. And we thank you for Jesus, because you, Jesus, are the one we are to look to. We don't find help in looking to ourselves, but we find help in looking to you. So Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done on the cross for us. We thank you for your blood. We thank you that you are the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith originates with you. Our faith is completed in you. It's in you that we have everything we need. So, Jesus, we say thank you this morning. We say thank you. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you made a way. You made a new and living way for us. Through the veil of your flesh, the veil of your body, that was broken and crucified for us. And Father, we thank you that when we stand before you to believe and receive what you've given to us, all we have to do is believe and receive by looking to you and knowing that you are the one that bring to fruition our prayers. You're the one that make things materialize. You're the one that bring the blessings. So we look not at our own selves this morning, but we look to you. We look to you, God, and we say thank you, Jesus. We just say thank you. So Father God, we ask you right now to remove all pressure from us when it comes to our prayers. All pressure from us when it comes to believing. Because God, now we know that it's on you. We just have to believe and receive and know that you are the originator of our faith. You're the finisher of our faith. You have done the work. So we cease working and we rest. We rest in you as we receive every promise that you've given us. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We rest in that. We rest in that. You said all our sins have been forgiven and you don't remember them anymore. We rest in that. Sometimes, Father, we have a problem forgetting our own sins and our own past, but you never have that problem. So, God, we ask you to help us to be like you and forget and remember no more because you don't remember anymore. Help us to live in the reality that we are new creations and the old person is gone. So, God, we say thank you. Help us to live in the fact that we're just as powerful as you say we are in your word.
Yes.
We can do everything your word says we can do because it's you doing it through us and we just resting in you. So God, we say thank you. Let us realize, Father God, that there's no such thing as we can't when it comes to the word of God. Because you did. And since you did, we can through you. So God, we say thank you for today. Thank you for our children. Thank you for everyone here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Any prayer requests for today?